USA.org today.
Obama wants the bankers to listen. He lashed out at them and called them fat cats on 60 Minutes, then met with them. He was a little more meek when the Big 12 sat among a group in the banking industry, of course, has reduced lending for 5 consecutive quarters. You think they're going to suddenly open up their coffers, as it were? I doubt it. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. 'Tis the season and all of that, right? So I'm kind of wondering out loud, because I'm sure you're all concerned about cutting down trees. Have you stopped sending Christmas cards? Is the idea of sending Christmas cards so passe, or is it just too bloody expensive when a stamp is 44 cents? I think that people aren't sending out as many cards as they used to send. What do you think? I'm curious. Do you send cards? Do you get cards? Well, those three Americans who are stuck in Iran certainly would like to get more than a card. At this point, the trio that's been there since July, as they crossed the border from Iraq into Iran, are going to be tried. They've, like I said, been jailed there since the summertime. And this, I wonder, has to be more than aggravating to our government, because you got Tehran in a standoff over the nuclear program. And you've got the foreign minister saying he didn't know when the actual proceedings would start or what the specific charge is, other than to say that the three Americans had suspicious aims. In November, they even accused them of spying. So Hillary Clinton, the Secretary of State, said that this move was unfounded and is, again, appealing to get them released. But so far, no movement. And you have to say, I mean, it was stupid for them to be hiking there. And apparently, what a huge mistake when they walked across an unmarked boundary. But they may be made examples of, and they may not get out of Iran. Can you imagine it? Three young people detained by the Iranians. And they have no, you can tell. I mean, give me a break. They got no connection of any kind with any kind of an action against Iran or the government. I mean, it's obvious. They look like young hikers. Now, you could say, well, that's how you assimilate. But come on, Iran is stretching that. And they're doing it for a reason. So they're going to be tried by the judicial system. And then they're going to get verdicts from that system. Woo! They're still being interrogated. So if they are tried, if they're tried, is there a chance even of any kind of a release? Remember, there was that one Iranian-American journalist, Roxana Saberi, who was convicted of spying and sentenced to 8 years in prison, but then she was released on an appeal. She couldn't get out of there fast enough. And then there was a Canadian journalist who also had the same problem. And she was picked up with that whole election crackdown stuff. And she was just suddenly released on bail in October. Now these Americans that have been there, like I said, since the summer, after crossing from northern Iraq into an area, an unmarked border, because that's what it was. And they're actually, the prison that they're in is called the Ivan prison, and it's where the Swiss diplomats, are visiting them, have visited them anyway a couple of times, and they say they look fine, but boy, you have to be concerned if you're anyone related to these three. All of them graduates from the University of California at Berkeley, and they were trekking in that Iraq's northern region. And apparently, two of them had been living in Damascus, and they were doing freelance journalism. They were writing online, you know, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. And now they're accused of spying. It's great, fair or foul. I think that, like I said, I think that they're going to be dangling for a while as a political pawns. I don't see their release anytime soon. Speaking of release, it's not about release, so to speak, for the Gitmo terror detainees. It's about where are they going to be released. We mentioned this on our last show. This story was broken by Breitbart, I think is that's the group that broke it, actually. And here's what's interesting with the memo that was released. The whole issue of closing Guantanamo, it's just evaporated into thin air. So suddenly the White House announces that the government is going to use this rural prison, or this prison in rural Illinois, as the new place to house a bunch of the terror suspects. And, of course, Dick Durbin is happy about that. The governor is happy about that. They are going to make an official announcement, right? And why are they happy about that? Because they're going to tout the economy. And this is a really small town, about 150 miles from Chicago. So the deal is this Thompson Correctional Center, pretty state-of-the-art, has only a few prisoners now as it stands. And they're talking about no more than 100 from Guantanamo. We start to do the math on that. Some getting sent back, the 100, then the people being tried in New York, the worst of the worst. And the whole idea of the Illinois prison was pretty quick. I mean, it was only a month ago, maybe 6 weeks ago, that all of a sudden it was talked about. And all of a sudden, Montana wasn't looking so good, and Colorado wasn't looking so good, and some of the others, including Marion, Illinois, because it's the jobs, the Federal Bureau of Prisons. They're housing the terror suspects, but you would have jobs that would be created. But I mentioned this in a previous hour, and, of course, nobody wanted to come on the air. I talked to two different people connected to the town who said that it's not really as enthusiastically being embraced as you would think, that you take this prison pretty much near dormant because they don't have that many prisoners, and then all of a sudden you can beef up the staff, and now you got jobs. You got jobs, but these people are going to get spit on and everything else because we know. We've had Jeff Atticott on. We've had Frank Gaffney on. We've had Jed Babin on. We've had a slew of people on this show that have been down to Guantanamo even just a little under a year ago, telling us that what the conditions were like as far as what the prisoners were doing to the people to the guards that were there on site. So get ready for that at the Thompson Correction Center, easy for me to say. It was built back in 2001. It's a state prison, and it can house maximum security inmates. So that was the whole idea. But it's the local economy. And I'm hearing the opposite of that, that there is some resistance to the idea. And really, Thompson Village, are they excited that they're being chosen? A town less than 500? 800-259-5791, fair or foul? Who's paying for this move? Stay with us.
Okay, yeah, I'm ready. Okay, yeah. Stop that. Oh, kid, you're killing me. Okay, they want me to dress up like Santa. My thoughts? What's this gonna prove? They want to remind you about the holiday special. So here it is. Buy a month's supply of Life Change Tea and get 2 extra weeks free. Get some free tea in the holiday spree.
Oh, my goodness.
Lose weight and don't become the size of Santa. Oh, who wrote this? Buy 1 month, get 2 weeks free. That's the best sale of the year. So go to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. Come on, new people. 928-308-0408. And all of you that have ordered the tea, thank you for this year. We love you guys.
Yeah, we know. You love us too.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold for your IRA? That's right. Gold has been available to be placed in IRAs since 1986. Yet still, the financial industry refuses to recognize the value of real hard assets for your retirement. The truth be told, gold and silver has outperformed paper investments like stocks, bonds, and CDs, yet no word about IRAs. Perhaps the financial institutions want to maintain control of your assets by keeping you in paper. If you'd like to take a look at gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low return on your paper investments. Call 800-686-2237. Make sure that you secure your future. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Say no to government vaccinations.
Say no to toxic overload.
Say no to chemicals.
Say yes to Liquid Zeolite. When you have fatigue, problems concentrating, muscle weakness, headaches, digestion, memory loss, influenza, or joint pain,
the solution may be as simple as detoxifying your body.
Chemical-free Liquid Zeolite helps the body heal itself so that it can become stronger to fight off viruses.
Why risk government vaccinations?
Liquid Zeolite detoxifies the body by safely helping remove toxins and heavy metals, boosting energy levels, and promoting a strong immune system. Liquid Zeolite is tasteless, odorless, and so gentle you won't even know you're taking it.
Feel great again in as little as 3 days to 3 weeks.
Liquid Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but it's only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 1-800-976-0025. 1-800-976-0025. 100% natural, 100% safe,
100% amazing.
Try Liquid Zeolite today.
Times about the mayor of that city, Bloomberg, flying to Copenhagen by private jet. Did you know he ranks among the worst individual polluters ever to hold public office? Yeah, there's two sides to every story. Hey, everybody, Kate hanging with you coast to coast and everywhere between on these airwaves known as America Tonight, or the show anyway known as America Tonight. Let's go to Don in Kentucky. Hey, Don.
Good morning, Kate.
I love it when you say that. You do that so well.
Thanks, Kate. I want to comment about the Iranian hostage situation.
Mm-hmm.
Two real points here. One is that this is just a strange irony to 30 years ago, doesn't it? But even though it's not quite as many people, it's just strange we have a weak Democrat in office that has Iranian hostages. I remember this.
Full circle.
It's kind of interesting. But the more interesting point is, that's just kind of a, I don't know, that's probably a coincidence. Maybe not. But the more interesting one is, you remember the two missionary girls that got taken hostage by North Korea?
Yes.
They did the exact same thing. Now, they may have been going out and spreading the gospel, but they were also playing with fire because they were supposedly not across the border, not going across the border, but we come find out later they claim to have unintentionally crossed the border.
Yeah.
Same thing here. These journalists, you know, they weren't, well, I don't know what their intent was, but they crossed the border, and it's a kind of a trend. As Americans, sometimes we seem to want to push the boundaries. Well, when we do that in another country, there's going to be consequences because They don't see things the way we see them. They have a different perspective. I traveled. I was in Mexico earlier this year. You know, I didn't go running around where I didn't think I should be.
Yeah, it's a good point. When I first heard the story, that's exactly what I thought. It's like, come on, you got to give me a break here, you Berkeley graduates. What are you thinking? You're playing with fire, absolutely, and they were playing with fire. And then the two women you're talking about, they actually worked for Al Gore, the two that got caught across the North Korean border, and that was looking really dicey that they weren't going to be able to get out, and they did. And in this situation in Iran, I don't know, they could, Don, sit there for a while.
What? Yeah, well, it may take a Republican to get out, right?
That's right.
I don't know if it will be there 3 years. But the thing is, it's a good lesson for everybody that's ever traveled internationally. You know, Canada would probably be like a walk around. I've never been to Canada yet, but I look forward to going one day. But it'd be similar to walking around the state. But other places, it's not going to be the same. I've traveled in Latin America and the Caribbean quite a bit. But while it's safe, you just don't do things that's going to put yourself in harm's way. Especially if you're in a country on the other side of the world.
Yeah.
I mean, especially communist dictatorships, which are going to have paranoid militaries. You know, I was on a cruise ship a couple of years ago, and we went by Cuba. Cuba still had gunships patrolling the water 7 miles out of where it was off the coast. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. They don't know, I mean. They didn't want to do anything to attack anybody. They were just, you know, making sure nobody crossed into the water.
And, yeah, I wouldn't mess with that. I agree with you.
Yeah. Well, what is the reasoning behind that we think we need to push the boundaries, that we seem to think we need to push the boundaries in other countries? Because honestly, when we do that, it's disrespecting the other nation.
Yeah.
And I hope they get out, but They really screwed up pretty bad,
and they'll be lucky to get out, especially with the tension with Iran. I mean, I think they will eventually get out, but they could be dancing around there for a while. They may just try them, sentence them, and then get out on appeal or something. But it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy road, I don't think.
Yeah, I doubt after this is over, they'll want to go pushing the boundaries and forcing.
Yeah, I agree with you. Absolutely. All right, Don. Take care, man. Yeah, he's right. What is the need? And listen, I went to school overseas. I was fortunate. It was really inexpensive at the time to do it. The exchange rate was good, and I got lucky because I'm not from some big rich family. And I went to school in Spain, and I'll tell you, they were really frank about it. I remember going to a meeting, and it was through the University of Toledo, but I was going to school at Ohio University, and they had a combo program, and it was to go to the University of Madrid. So, I mean, it was incredible how easy it was to afford this at the time, but at the meeting, I can remember they were really clear about it. If you are smoking pot or you get caught in a situation, you better call us immediately because you're on your own. I mean, you're picked up. We can't guarantee what's going to happen. And, I mean, they pounded that into you, and that was Spain versus you're out hiking in the northern part of Iraq. I mean, yeah, there's no doubt about it. But I think it's legitimate. You can tell they're obviously not, come on, they're obviously not spies. If they did cross over the unmarked area, they did screw up, no question. And the bottom line is they're the catch now for this government, so they'll dangle them. It's not going to be an easy release. I think they'll go through it, some kind of a trial, and then they'll do the appeal thing maybe, and then that's how they'll get out. But it depends on where we're at with Iran as well. It does make you wonder, no doubt. I don't know, Donovan, have you traveled outside of the borders lately of the U.S.?
Not since 9/11.
Yeah, see, and that's the thing. Before 9/11, I mean, good point. Before 9/11, it was a little bit different compared to post 9/11. Much different when you're traveling now versus then. And when I was in Spain, that was pre 9/11. I have been to other countries since then. All of you know how I did the thing, went to Ecuador a couple of years ago. I did that. I mean, if you were listening to America Tonight then, I went to Ecuador, and that was interesting and certainly different in that country. And I went to Turks and Caicos, but Turks and Caicos is more of a island atmosphere or whatever. You still could screw up there, though, because there's what they call belongers. And if you push the envelope, yeah, that wouldn't be a good thing. It wouldn't have been a good thing, certainly, in Guayaquil and Ecuador either. So it's not necessarily just in Iran. However, the timing could not be worse with this debate over the nukes. And you know how I feel about Ahmadinejad. If he has any say in any of the matters, which he would, he could let his wishes be known, and he will. I think that's what will happen. They'll just dangle them for a while. So they're not, I don't care how many Swiss diplomats go to visit him or what Hillary Clinton says. It's going to take a while. And if it doesn't, then they can thank their lucky stars that someone pulled some kind of strings to get them out of there, because it's not going to be close. All right, Al Gore, of course, over in Copenhagen, he's been there for, you know, a big chunk of the time. And remember, Gore, famous for the whole Inconvenient Truth. Now, what happened was, apparently he got kind of jumbled up on some of his numbers. I think I mentioned this earlier. He was speaking at the climate change summit, and he started talking about the latest research that showed that the Arctic could be completely ice-free in 5 years. In his speech, he told the conference these figures are fresh. Some of the models suggest that there is a 75% chance that the entire North Polar ice cap during the summer months could be completely ice-free. And as I said, 5 to 7 years is what he was saying. The climatologist whose work Gore was relying upon dropped the former VP with a pretty big thud. The doctor said, Maslowski is his name, that it's unclear to me how this figure was arrived at. I would never try to estimate the likelihood at anything as exact as this. Do you love that? So later they said that the 75% figure was one used by Maslowski as a ballpark number several years ago in a conversation with Gore. So once again, if not getting the facts straight costs you, if that's the cause, and you're trying to say, listen, this is true, that puts yet another doubt in everyone's mind, that more of a shadow over the controversy from the hacked emails, right, from the Climate Research Unit, which suggested that the scientists manipulated the information to strengthen their argument that human activities were causing global warming. Hang with us.
For the past year, you've heard about GardenInACan.com right here on GCN. GardenInACan.com is your source for premium non-hybrid and non-genetically modified seeds. Each order includes 16 carefully selected varieties made specifically for both spring and fall, giving you an extended growing season. You'll receive approximately 18,000 seeds, giving you the ability to plant a crisis garden of up to two-thirds of an acre. Every order is hermetically sealed to lock in freshness and sealed again in a large metal can for the ultimate protection, giving you a shelf life of up to 10 years. For a limited time, while supplies last, GardenInACan.com is having a sale. Order your Garden in a Can for only $49.95. That's right, $49.95. If you have a preparedness plan and it does not include long-term storable garden seeds, this is the best time to acquire your seeds. Take advantage of this great offer and order now. Visit GardenInACan.com. That's GardenInACan.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hello, at ofthefield.com, we strive to empower you with wild food preparedness. We get lots of amazing positive feedback, most of which we feature on ofthefield.com. Here's a small sample of all that people like you have to say about the wild food experience.
As a homesteader attempting to live sustainably, I was floored by the amount of information in this book.
Dear Linda, I would be hard-pressed to express how much you have impacted my life.
I'm amazed by the wealth of the author's knowledge and the depth of the coverage in this book.
As we see more and more GMO foods on the shelves, this information is good to know.
I am thankful to God for you, Linda.
I can't say enough about this book.
Blessings to you and your family.
The greatest effect this book has had on me and my family is that we truly see Earth's bounty everywhere.
Folks, thanks for letting us help you get back to basics. Read all of the testimonials at ofthefield.com. You can order online for you and your loved ones or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE to share in the secret.
This is Jerry Pierce, the radio detective. Have you heard of the Millionaire Patriot? Well, you should. He has a free handgun and 5 days of firearm training waiting for you. That's right. You can attend 5 days of world-class gun training at Front Sight Firearms Training Institute and secure a 30-state concealed weapons permit, all for pennies on the dollar. Plus, if you act fast, the Millionaire Patriot will give you a free Springfield Armory XD pistol in the caliber of your choice. Now is the time you and your family need to be armed and trained to levels that exceed law enforcement and military standards. Front Sight provides such training without any boot camp mentality or drill instructor attitudes, and the Millionaire Patriot's paying his own money to help you get it. This is real. Thousands have already taken advantage of it, and you should too. Don't miss out. Secure a Front Sight defensive handgun course plus 30-state concealed weapons permit for pennies on the dollar. And get your free handgun. Go to frontsight.com today. That's FrontSight.com. Go to frontsight.com for your training and free gun.
This is an emergency alert. More than half the world's doctors and nurses are refusing risky vaccinations this fall. I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz, a Harvard-trained public health expert, urging you to avoid risky vaccinations, especially this flu season. Rely on OxySilver instead. OxySilver's broad-spectrum action makes all vaccinations and antibiotics unnecessary. OxySilver is the most advanced silver hydrosol, far safer than colloidal silvers. It works so well, saving lives and money, protecting and healing you and your family. It has been targeted for elimination by the drug cartel, so get it while you still can. Order OxySilver online at OxySilver.com. If you call right now, I'll send you a free information kit. Call toll-free 1-888-KO-GERMS. That's 1-888-KO-GERMS. Order OxySilver today. This call could save your life.
Of a bombing in Afghanistan, America Tonight Live, so we're giving it to you as it's unfolding. The public health ministry says 5 people killed, 31 others were wounded in this suicide car bombing in a very heavily guarded neighborhood in Kabul. That's what's disconcerting. And it occurred right near a hotel that many Westerners go to. Not clear right now as to whether the hotel was the target or not. Hamid Karzai said the explosion happened near the home of his former vice president, Mossad, and it happened during a speech at a conference on corruption. Of course, Karzai said 2 of the guards were among those killed in the explosion. The hotel just a little bit damaged, 3 homes severely damaged, windows shattered in nearby buildings, and not good. On the heels of a lot of the things that are happening with the extra troops on the ground by Christmas time, certainly from the United States, and then others chipping in, other NATO allies, etc., chipping in a little bit more, but not quite anywhere near, actually, as much as the Americans. And speaking of that, top brass, the Admiral Mike Mullen in Kabul addressing a lot of things. And here in the snippet talks about what is happening moving forward. And it's a lot of what was discussed for the past couple of weeks. But here's his thoughts live on the ground before this attack happened.
that I told our troops headed here to steel themselves for more combat and more casualties, even as I urge them to use the time before deployment to learn all they can about the Afghan culture, to immerse themselves in local dialects and customs. Because in my view, and that of General McChrystal, the Afghan people, their needs, their perceptions, and above all, their actions, are and must remain the center of gravity in this conflict. President Obama made it abundantly clear, our national commitment to Afghanistan will endure, but our military presence will not.
All right, center of gravity is the people in Afghanistan. You heard the admiral say that. So the problem is what we were talking about in a previous show, the rules of engagement, which has really, really, really hamstrung so many of the soldiers who are on the front lines, as the idea is to kill the insurgents, get the insurgents, and they're not able to do that in many, many cases because of these new very, very tight rules on the ground, rules that were enforced because of the civilian casualties, and the avoiding of civilian casualties at all costs is what's causing some of the problems on the ground in the some of the scenarios that we said this. It's sad that the soldiers encounter. What are they supposed to do? It's got to be a very tough situation to be in. Damned if you do and damned if you don't. So what's happening, frankly, from all the reports that we've heard, is that in many cases, the enemy just simply walks away. They go away. They're allowed to do that because the soldiers cannot have collateral damage. Does it mean they never will? Well, of course not, but the idea is they have to avoid it at all costs. So that means sometimes they see something that's awry, but they cannot tangle with what they suspect is happening unless they're as close to 100% sure as one could be. So I don't know, frankly, that's got to be more than a rock and a hard place. What do you think they're talking about when they're in these situations where they could be killed instantly, but yet they cannot react because of the circumstances as to the people being there and the Taliban? It's got to be more than, as I said, more than frustrating to say the least, right? All right, a couple of other things to jump to in this sort of odds and ends segment here. I mentioned what happened in Kabul, and you heard what Mullen had to say, that the focus is on the people and winning the people over. One of the things that I mentioned at the top of the hour was what is going on with Bloomberg. The arrogance of that, for all the criticism that he levels at so many people about the whole green movement and global warming, not so much the green movement, because there's things in quotes going green that all of us would probably agree on with waste and recycling or whatever. But in the global warming scenario, so as far as global warming is concerned in Copenhagen, and after what I just told you about Al Gore, now you've got Bloomberg, who flew over to this climate summit where they're not coming out of this climate summit with anything that's going to amount to a hill of beans. Now, if I'm in Copenhagen and I own a hotel there, sweet, diggity dig it, keep on coming. People spent money. They went to eat. They were here. Even though, you know, we had a million things going on. So almost like the Super Bowl of the global warming movement, benefit to Copenhagen for sure. So here's the deal. The big, huge article in the New York Times, and I love it. I love that they nailed him right when he's going to Copenhagen, and everyone's going to read this. The average New Yorker, and that's how Jim Dwyer started his article out, uses one-half to one-third the electricity of other Americans, right? So he's talking about the whole carbon footprint thing, and he says that are just carbon footprints are just 29% of people who live outside the five boroughs. And City Hall has practical plans to reduce even that amount by a third over the next two decades. So he goes into that whole thing about being an environmentally efficient society in the United States. So Mayor Bloomberg goes to Copenhagen to talk about climate change and how he's working hard to head off problems that won't happen until long after he's gone. But Bloomberg, who may be one of the not biggest figures, but certainly one of, as he likes to think of himself, one of the most visionary public officials, and they talk about this in the New York Times, what is he doing? He's trying to make this argument, and he's one of the worst polluters ever to be in office. He has a helicopter. He's got two jets. Both of them are Falcon 900s. He flies everywhere on private jet. By far, obviously, not the best form of transportation, right? He takes a jet to Bermuda on tons of weekends. He flies around the globe. He goes to Washington. He went to Copenhagen that way. So you do the carbon on that by taking those planes to Denmark, and he's responsible for releasing 37 times of the carbon dioxide than if he and his entourage flew on a commercial flight. So it is brilliant that the New York Times actually printed it, that Dwyer did the column, you know, the story on this. So, you know, even the reporter had somebody assess the carbon footprint, if you will. And what they came up with is that the Falcon 900, when it carries eight people from Newark to Copenhagen, produces 21.6 tons of carbon dioxide. So you add eight people to the Scandinavian Airlines flight, and maybe it's an Airbus A330-300, it would produce 0.58 tons of carbon dioxide. Woo! What a number. The Bermuda trips are even worse. The private jet produces 130 times more emissions than going commercial. And if you look at the Falcon, it produces 4.3 tons of carbon dioxide. I don't want to bore you with all the nitty-gritty of what was in the Times, but I just think it's hilarious. I'm sure he's not happy with this. He's not happy that that's what the headline says, and not happy that they're talking about, you know, again, even though he's a public figure who keeps pushing for all these things when it comes to food, when it comes to travel. I mean, they even put in the article that he's talking always about nutritional values, which is true. Remember, he wanted to put the tax, the sweet tax and the snack tax on New York City. But they have pictures of him shaking practically a whole salt shaker all over his pizza. So, whatever, Bloomberg. Somehow, I am not surprised by this. But the headline, I'd have to say, bravo to the Times reporter for pulling that together. All right. This isn't about carbon footprint, or maybe in a way it is, but this is about a shocking number. Some of you listening to me have teenagers, or you've raised teenagers anyway. Stu, this is for you. Imagine when his daughter, who's not even a year old, imagine what kind of device she'll even be talking on. But yeah, the whole cell phone thing and the kids and the texting and everything else. You want to talk about an astronomical cell phone bill. There is a girl who was chatting, texting, all that other kind of stuff, who received in the Bay Area a cell phone bill for $22,000. Yeah. Or actually, it wasn't the girl. It was the 13-year-old boy. He was texting a lot of girls, but he downloaded about 1.4 million kilobytes of information last month. Woo! And that didn't cover, the plan didn't cover it, so he was charged by the megabyte. Oh, man. So what do you think Verizon does with this? Stay with us.
America is in deep, deep trouble because we don't know our rights. Let's get real freedom back into America by teaching and promoting the Bill of Rights with the 2010 Freedom Calendar. Why? Because our forefathers gave them to us. Because the Freedom Calendar is true patriotism in action. And because if you don't know your rights and use them, you may lose them. The Freedom Calendar is the best educational tool in over 200 years. It shows in detail how to use your rights, how to answer any bureaucrat, how to use your guaranteed rights for true freedom. The Freedom Calendar is the easy way to learn the proper use and function of each of our rights and is perfect for homeschoolers, business promotions, and fundraisers. Order your Freedom Calendar now for just $15, and discounts are available for bulk orders. Call 651-771-5234. Again, 651-771-5234. The Freedom Calendar. Know your rights or lose them. Order now while supplies last. Call 651-771-5234 today.
Why are you letting that search engine spy on you?
Spy on me?
Yeah. Don't you know Google, Yahoo, and other search engines record all your searches and store them in a giant database? You should use StartPage instead.
StartPage?
Yeah, StartPage.com, the new name for IxQuick, the world's most private search engine. They don't record your searches or your IP address, and the search results are great. Plus, StartPage is third-party certified, and it's totally free.
I don't want Big Brother watching what I do on the internet. I'm adding StartPage to my browser.
Right. Go to StartPage.com and start searching with privacy.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones. There are some habits you need to break if you want to hold on to your privacy. That's why I'm inviting you to take the one-week StartPage challenge. The next time you're about to look something up on Google, Yahoo, or Bing, go to StartPage.com instead. Try 7 days of StartPage and break the Big Brother habit. Do yourself and your privacy a favor. Try StartPage.com for 7 days and start protecting your privacy. That's StartPage.com.
When the electricity goes out, how will you boil water, cook dinner, light your home, or get news reports? Most families are not prepared for even the shortest power outage due to hurricanes, tornadoes, ice storms, and so on. But you can prepare your family for emergencies and not spend a lot doing it with the amazing products from Carol Stove. CarolStove.com is a family preparedness website that has everything you will need in the event of emergency at big discounts. Kerosene stoves, lanterns, emergency radios, water filters, LED flashlights, and even an oven for baking. CarolStove.com is the largest selection of kerosene stoves on the internet. They've even put together two family emergency kits at big discounts that include everything you'll need for the next extended blackout. With carolstove.com's family emergency kits, you'll be able to cook, bake, light your home, make safe drinking water, and hear the news. And you'll be surprised how little you'll spend on Carol Stove's incredible products. For example, our most popular single burner stove starts at only $58. See our complete line of quality stoves and ovens at carolstove.com. That's K-E-R-O-Stove.com. Keep cooking with carolstove.com.
Money is a game changer, but we all knew that, right? So Bloomberg can easily talk out of both sides of his mouth and also get the people of New York to vote that he could be governor for a third time around. Remember, that's how he stayed in his position, and do whatever he feels like doing, whether it's inhale the junk food in New York and pour salt all over it while he condemns everybody else for that, or else he leaves a big carbon footprint and tells everybody else that that can't be happening in New York City. And then we go from Bloomberg to Guantanamo and the situation with Gitmo and closing it down and circumventing what should be something from the Capitol. And you know, probably in the next day or two, because the focus has really been healthcare, we'll hear something on bringing the 100 or so terror suspects to this rural town with no questions asked, and who's footing the bill for that? I mean, it's not Star Trek. You don't just transport the people up and then all of a sudden they're down. You got to move these prisoners. And that's going to cost a lot of do-re-mi. That's something that we already know, something we've talked about with Jeff Atticott, who says constitutionally the administration can't do it anyway. So go figure. How are they maneuvering these waters? How are they getting around it? How is Eric Holder able to do that? Well, there's some way, or it wouldn't even be out there. So they're challenging something in the legal system enough that they're able to put together a memo, make the announcement, close down Guantanamo, and that's the end of the story, even if it's not closed on the exact date in January. It's looking closer and closer to that becoming a reality. And that's more money and power, because there were people who were owed favors in Illinois as a result, and I believe this, as a result of them not getting the Olympics. So now you get these jobs in exchange, but jobs that really, I don't know that even though it's a really tiny town, that they necessarily want, right? All right, how can we have holidays without any kind of a protest, whether it be from someone of the Muslim faith or the Jewish faith or the Christian faith or of no faith? So the latest controversy is kind of interesting. An Indiana school removed Allah from the holiday show after the protest. Well, here's the specifics of it. At this school, there was a mention of Allah in what they had normally done, right? So the people in Fishers, Indiana, at Lantern Road Elementary specifically, so you know the school just in case, they decided to take this second grade program that had portions of Hanukkah and Christmas and Ramadan and Kwanzaa and all kinds of celebrations, which, hey, I applaud them for doing that, right? They said it was great. Families thought it was a nice program. But they decided to take out the phrase, Allah is God, after the American Family Association complained about the program on their newsletter. They made the alteration because, and what they said is no other deities were mentioned in the program. So no, there was no other reference to God in any of the other things that were done. So Sharik Siddiqui, the executive director of the Muslim Alliance of Indiana, said that the decision to remove the word Allah was most certainly not inclusive, that it was unfortunate that it was removed from the program because of the Islamic phobic feelings. And schools should be a place where you teach more about each other rather than exclude based on stereotypes and misconceptions. And of course, Allah is the word for God, and it's used by the word God is used by Jews and Christians and others. Now, I'm thinking there's got to be more to the story on this one. I did place a call to the school, didn't hear back, but it was really after hours, so I didn't necessarily expect that I would. But I'm wondering if they did Ramadan, so they did do that, and Hanukkah and Christmas and Kwanzaa and whatever. And is this, you know, does he have a leg to stand on? Because fair is fair. I mean, if everybody else had references to God, if that's true, because they're saying they didn't. But if they did, why, you know, Allah is God. That's not Allah Akbar. That's not over the top if this is something that was done across the board. But see, here's the problem. It's lit the fuse. It's lit the you are anti-Muslim. This is an anti-Muslim country. And I hate that, turning it into that kind of controversy. Because, it's just like I say on the show, I'm not anti-Muslim by any stretch of the imagination. I have two friends who are Muslims. two very modern, and they're both women, two very modern Muslim women of Muslim faith. I have friends from all walks of life. I have friends that are ultra, ultra flaming. I'll call them flaming, even though there's no such word, flaming liberal, and uber conservative friends. But that's me. I mix it up, and I like it. And I have no problem with that. And there are people that can't do that. And in this school, I think they're doing a good thing if they are representing. It's kind of like when I was at Disney. This sounds really like a stupid analogy, but you go in that old-fashioned, old-school ride. It's a small world, and you see all the different countries, and it's cool, and how they're represented and everything. And, you know, geez, can't we sometimes just make this all work out? So it lights the fuse, and maybe it lights the fuse against the school for no reason, or maybe the school was being stupid. Maybe the principal didn't think correctly about what they were doing with the program and just jumped to it and cut out the a la reference. But the principal handled the quote right. Better crisis management than Tiger Woods, for sure. Of course, keep it neutral. It went off last night without a hitch. Families thought it was a nice program. Boom. Don't even get into it. Just leave it at that. Unless it goes a little bit further. And the chances are it could go further. Chances are, who knows, it could be some kind of a lawsuit or, you know, I'll be curious to see what Sharik Siddiqui does with this from the Muslim Alliance of Indiana and what the word really was on this, whether he's right and they were they bumbled it or vice versa. But the point of bringing it up is just to show how you cannot even have a little second grade pageant anymore without some kind of ridiculous controversy coming out of it. It's like the Pledge of Allegiance. It's like references to, gee, should we take out "In God We Trust" on the money? Can nothing just stay? Can nothing just be and take it at face value? And the answer to that question is, and all of you know it, no. It just can't. It's just not that way anymore. We just have to be so over the top, so politically correct, and everybody's looking for an angle on something. You know, it's like the people who say we're Sue happy. This is the perfect scenario for some kind of a lawsuit. Guarantee you, you will hear me on these airwaves talking about how it's become a legal battle. And that's ridiculous. That's a waste of money. It's a waste of time. And I'm sick of it. I just don't get it. I had a vent. If you want to vent, you can do that too. AmericaTonight.net.
I can't take it anymore!